You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm, your host. The Kid is joining me here in the Dog Bowl. Dave DiNatale back at the Galleria studio. We have laid out a great show, and Dino, I believe we have some callers. Let's go right to the phone.
Yeah, let's go north of the border, guys, to Cam in Canada. Cam, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Hey, guys, happy Easter to you both.
Happy Easter to you, too.
Oh, Canada. How's it going, Cam?
It's going awesome. Beautiful day up here. I have my phone and my app going all the time wherever I go. People think I'm crazy, so it's all good.
You're not crazy, Cam.
So, no, of course. But anyways, I was going to say, as far as the ref goes, I think that it's definitely, I think it's great progress. As far as O'Neill goes, I really like the interview. I've got them going, if they draft a good guy in the middle, I've got them going somewhere up to probably middle of the pack D in terms of run stop this year. I think they go from 32nd up to about 15th or 16th. And then in regards to Kentucky, I was a little disappointed today. Riz had Mr. Nance on the phone, and Mr. Nance is saying that Kentucky is the best team perhaps in this era, but he's failing to agree that they're one of the best of all time. And I wanted to ask you guys, because I respect your opinion, how can, when you factor in pre-advanced scouting and in-game adjustments and the use of video and expanded coaching staffs with 10, 12 guys, four or five of them set up specifically just to pre and advance plan on a team. How I'm trying to understand how a team in this era could not be considered that it is much more spectacular to go undefeated because of all the preparation that goes into it and everybody being able to go after them technically. I just don't understand how we continue to look back at that old era like it's some laser beam protected iconic era that nobody else can infiltrate. That's my question.
Well, here's how I'd respond to that. I would say the accomplishment itself with the advanced scouting and all that, the accomplishment would be second to none, and it might be the greatest accomplishment considering Indiana was only 32-0. So I do think the accomplishment itself might be the greatest ever. However, there's a difference between an accomplishment and what the actual skill level of the team is. The skill level of college basketball right now is just not what it used to be. Mm-hmm. And defensively, I think Kentucky could compete with old school teams. Offensively, no way. I don't know how you feel, Dino, but offensively, I just don't see them being anything more than just a good offense.
No, if you asked me right now, and with two games still potentially to go, you know, to say that this team is better than the 1990 UNLV Running Rebels.
Oh, God, no.
I can't do that.
No.
Or better than the Leitner Duke teams. I can't do that.
And also, too, the one thing that I'd like to shine a light on is, let's shine a light on Gino Auriemma's comments about the men's college basketball game. You know, is that fall in line with exactly how you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I just think,
from an entertainment standpoint?
Yeah, to me, and you and I talked about this, I think, off air, it's like, we used to both be huge college basketball fans, and it's really an unwatchable product. The tournament you watch because the tournament's exciting.
The tournament's a tournament.
The tournament's fun. Everybody,
yes, right.
Because it's a tradition. You stay home from work on Thursday and Friday, the first 2 days to watch it, and there's a tradition there.
And you're excited. I mean, you're excited also too. I mean, for Cleveland to be to be named a regional.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was exciting. So it's the the spontaneity that the tournament brings that is oh so exciting if you're a sports fan.
Yeah. And also, by the way, let's just back up one step and say Kentucky has to finish the job. I mean, nobody talks about New England now, the 18-1 New England team is the greatest team ever because they didn't finish the job.
Right.
Kentucky needs to finish the job to even be in any discussion.
Oh, there's no doubt. And you know what, like I said, I want to talk about for just a quick minute that Gino Auriemma comment. And the one thing that I loved about it is he wasn't pro women's game either, and it just overall the ability for every game around us, the NFL is changing rules to make it a more fan appreciative game. Mm-hmm. Baseball is changing the rules, replay, things of that down the foul line, and the NBA game has changed, with the obviously the charge arc, there in the middle of the lane. So, and I just think that the NFL game has, or I'm sorry, the college basketball game has been so rigid.
They need to come with the NBA rules. I don't know how you guys feel,
shot
but I think they need to
24
come 24 seconds. And then they need to expand the lane, make it wider. It'll open up scoring more. The lane won't be so clogged. Shots will be going quicker. It's not going to solve all the problems.
Zone defense is harder to play.
But it certainly will be a good first step.
I think it's coming. I mean, in this postseason, they've experimented with the 30-second shot clock in the NIT and the CIT tournaments.
Yeah,
right.
So I think a reduced shot clock is coming.
And guys, you know, you have to figure. You said it's coming. But the thing that popped into my head is, how long have analysts and college coaches been complaining
exactly.
about the BCS? You know, it took 5 years for the playoffs to come. Yes. You know, so hopefully we see it soon.
I got a random question. I just happened to flip on the NIT last night. Either one of you see any of the NIT finals last night?
No.
Who played in them?
So Miami was playing Stanford, and by far the highlight of the game was Michael Irvin was sitting courtside and just going. He was so into the game.
Madison Square Garden?
Way cooler. Yes, way cooler than any part of the game, and I love the playmaker. I just think his intensity as a fan, as a player, as a commentator, he's the best guy. I love him.
You're right, and you know what, to even just piggyback your comment is, if you watched him coach the Pro Bowl this year, he was like super intense. He was as if he was still a player. Like, it was the calm before the storm when he was like focused with his coaches. Some of the pictures and video that I saw where he was like quiet and docile because he didn't want to go out and embarrass himself or make any mistakes. You know, but once the game started, he was the vivacious playmaker that we all know him as.
And man, I wish I could have been backstage for some of his off the field antics back in the day.
Or at a party with him and Dion.
Absolutely.
All right, Dino, let's go back to the phones.
Yeah, Will is in Brook Park, guys. Will, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me.
Sure.
You got it, man.
I have a question about the female ref. I have no problem with her reffing a game as long as she's qualified and has put the time in. And my concern is, I'm not on the internet to look it up, so I need you guys to educate me and the listeners on her. But men typically put in their whole lives before they get a shot at the NFL, reffing, taking classes, trying to perfect their craft. And I've never seen a woman ref in a game, period. And I'm sure they're out there. But I would just hope that she isn't just taking some classes, going to some training camps, and getting rubber stamped in because she's a woman. So if you have her qualifications
I think she's been training for the last several years, doing training camps, working on some preseason games.
Exactly, and I'll read it right here. Her name is Sarah Thomas. It says, Thomas has been in the officiating pipeline for several years and has been working at the college level while learning the NFL game. She's worked camps and preseason games in the past and technically wouldn't be the first female on the NFL field since Shannon Easton worked a game during the replacement ref era.
And again, you know, I don't want to get too caught up in who has more training and this, that, or the other thing. Progress needs to happen in all walks of life, and this is just one area. It's a non-story to me. Bring her in. Bring in four or five more females, and let's go.
And the point that I want to make when it comes to this, male, female, if Roger Goodell, who has, you know, has changed the game since taking over as commissioner from what Paul Tagliabue, who had it as the, you know, the freewheeling, you know, wild, wild west of an NFL that we used to play both on the field and from a business standpoint when it comes to money and contracts and the NFLPA, Roger Goodell has tightened the ship. He has come under more scrutiny with concussions and the domestic violence and the amount of money that the NFL is making and the process of changing the rules on the field. That the NFL is a multi-billion dollar business. And when they're going to make a decision, they're not just going to make a decision in favor of a woman simply because it's a woman. They were going to make sure that she is trained as if she were a rookie male joining a crew in the National Football League, and that she is purely qualified to get it right on the football field as if she were a man.
She's going to be under double the scrutiny of any other new official. So I agree with you. They're not going to put her out there unless they really feel that she's qualified. And I'm glad that they're doing it. And to me, again, let's just move on to some football.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to grab a timeout here. And on the backside of this break, what we're going to discuss is Mark Domenic, general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, has recently done an interview talking about the scouting process of drafting a first overall or drafting in the first round or draft in general, about how Jameis Winston has come out and has been followed on an airplane in between his senior season and getting drafted. And Justin Blackmon, former, I believe, third or fourth pick overall by the Jacksonville Jaguars, was followed for multiple days, and it came where Mark Domenech actually took him off the board. So we're going to get specific about my process, the NFL process when it comes to scouting, after this timeout. Matt Wilhelm, The Kid, Dave DiNatale, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.